This is the only live and local morning show in the area. Interesting news, engaging talk, and news that affects you. This is the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
My guest this morning is Hermiston School District Superintendent Tricia Mooney, and my conversation with her will begin after this.
When warmer weather hits, the City of Pendleton wants to help you get out and enjoy our beautiful parks, attend social events, and gather with family and friends. The City of Pendleton can help you get there safely, and a lot of those services are free or only cost a few dollars. Go to the City of Pendleton's website, click the Departments tab to find the link for the transit page, and go out and enjoy our community.
Engaging talk. Let's get back to the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us on a Monday. This is the KUMA Coffee Hour. I'm your host, Dan Tessman. Joining me in studio this morning, Hermiston School District Superintendent Tricia Mooney. Tricia, good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I appreciate you coming in. We got much to talk about, and I'd like to begin by asking you about the Hermiston School Board recently changing its regular meeting schedule so members could attend a city council meeting and speak regarding the city putting a question on the ballot about legalizing marijuana businesses. It seems like the council listened since it decided not to take action. What was the school board's position?
Yeah, so that actually was an interesting process for our board, if you will, at their regular meeting of the month. So each June, the board adopts a regular meeting schedule for the following year, and they adopt their business meetings, is kind of what we call them. That's the first meeting of the month, so that second Monday is the business meeting, and then the fourth Monday is a work session, and those are, the board holds those regularly in most months. There are some months when it doesn't work to have a work session, for example, December. In July, there isn't a work session, so that work session was the same night as the city council meeting. And the board had had a really healthy conversation in their business meeting about the potential for the city to put that question on the ballot, put it out to voters in Hermiston. And the conversation was really around, where do we as a school board have a position on this, not where do we as individuals? And sometimes, and probably not unique to school boards, really any board or any, you know, elected position, when you're speaking for a group of people, there is sometimes a struggle between what your personal opinion is and what you feel like you need to, the decision you need to make for that group. And the board really had a healthy conversation about the processes, like what would be the process, and where does the school board weigh in or have a voice, express an opinion on behalf of the board, as the board represents students in the community, not necessarily about what the process is or what the process should be. And as a board, the decision was made to not hold their regularly scheduled work session, so that second meeting of the month, so that the board in its entirety could attend the city council meeting. Initially, the conversation was about there being a representative attending that council meeting, and then moved toward, if this is really of value to us as a board, and we feel that the statement we want to make, and obviously James Hurst, who is one of the board members, was selected to speak on behalf of the board. So the board worked together on a statement that James was asked to share with the council. But the decision was, if we feel strongly as a board about what we're going to say and the impact that changing the current practice in Hermiston could have on our students, then as a board, we need to show up and be a part of that. So I'm really proud of the board for their willingness to think outside the box, which is really, you know, what they did in saying, we're going to not hold this meeting, we're going to attend. So it's more than just a statement being made that they're going to see our by our presence and our commitment to be here, you know, this evening, that this is of value and that we hold our opinion as a board. So, yeah, that night at the city council meeting, it was a well-attended council meeting for sure. James Hurst did speak on behalf of the board and just shared that the board's opinion, the board's position is that having marijuana businesses within city limits poses a potential detriment to our students, and really all of their conversation and the points in their position were around students and how this would impact our students, and that as a board, it's their responsibility to be thinking about students and making decisions in the best interest of students. And so providing a statement and a position to the council as a board on behalf of students was what happened that night. And obviously, if you followed the council meeting at all, there was no change. The council voted to keep what is the current practice, if you will. Obviously, there are other processes, and the council had a conversation about that a group of voters could, or you know, organize themselves to get signatures and put a question on the ballot. But the council decided that night not to put that question to voters. And I think that in addition to the board members that were there, there were several other community members. And I just really appreciate our board being willing to think outside of the box and step up and say, you know, what they value for students.
All right. Well, tomorrow and Wednesday kick off kindergarten registration in Hermiston. Why is it important for the district to explore the number of kindergarten students to expect?
Every year we have kindergarten registration in April, and it's the time for us to number one, find out who our kinders are. And there are a couple of important reasons for that. One, from the district standpoint, as we look at next year and staffing, making sure that we have the appropriate number of teachers allocated for kinder, so we can anticipate that class coming in. A large influx of kinders might also warrant additional instructional materials, things like that. So it's a good way for us to make sure, number one, that we're ready for the kids that are coming in our door with those sections. It's a way for us, as ongoing as a district, each month I report to the board on our enrollment numbers, and we keep a close eye on our average daily membership weighted. ADMW is how districts are funded. And so that this is just one way for us to, it's another, I guess, measurement, a data point for us to be tracking where we're going to be financially as a district, because we know that those student registrations calculate as ADMW, and that's how districts are funded. So that's a really important piece as we plan for next year. We're starting the budget season, so it's important for us to know who we're going to anticipate coming in, the size of that kindergarten class, because we know the size of our graduation class going out. So from that business standpoint, the budget standpoint, it's an important piece. The other thing is that as a part of our summer program, we do offer a kinder camp, if you will. So the ability for us to know those kindergartners now helps us plan for them in kinder camp, which helps our kindergartners coming in learning some of the basic rules, if you will, when you're in school, how to stand in line, you know, how to sit crisscross applesauce with your hands in your lap, those pieces, how to hold a pencil. But those you know, simple rules or processes, procedures that help students transition into school. It also helps relieve some anxiety, sometimes parents and students both, right? If we have a kinder, that's a first time kinder for a family to have that kinder camp experience. So parents also know what to expect when the school year rolls around, helps our students be in the school, parents be in the school, see what's happening, meet some of our staff. So for a variety of reasons, kinder registration is really important. And as you said, that starts tomorrow night. We have in-person support at the district office tomorrow night and Wednesday night this week. And then next week, again, on Tuesday night and Wednesday night, there will be in-person support. We do register online, so parents don't have to come into the district office to register their kindergartner. You can do that online. There's an online process. Any questions can be directed to the district office, and we can help a parent through that. But there will be in-person support those two nights this week and next week to help any parents that might need some help filling out the forms and getting their kinder registered.
Which kids are eligible for kindergarten in the coming school year?
So for a student to be eligible for kindergarten, they have to be 5 by September 1st. September 1st is that cutoff date. And there is an early entrance window. So for a student who is 5 by October 1st, there is an assessment that can happen to say, to find out if they're academically ready to attend, academically, social, emotionally, all those pieces ready to attend kindergarten. And, you know, some of our kiddos that are right on that line, you know, August birthday, sometimes parents will say, you know, my child actually is old enough to attend kinder, but I think I'm going to hold them back for a year. So that's we have that side of it where we'll have kinders that are coming in that are 6 because parents have elected to hold them back for a year. But if a student, let's say, turns 5 on September 15th and a parent feels like their child probably really is ready for kindergarten, reach out to the Hermiston School District office. We have a process that we'll get in touch with the parent and do that assessment and then have a conversation with the parent. And if we feel that the child's ready, then that early entrance into kinder, otherwise we'll hold off for a year.
And that was my next question. What are a parent's options if they feel their child either is ready to start kindergarten at an earlier age or is not ready when they are the required age?
Yeah. So those late 5-year-olds, again, and we do have parents that sometimes will ask, you know, what do you think? We have an August birthday. You know, there are a variety of reasons. And so to hold back for a year sometimes and do another year of preschool is the right for some children. And for some children, you know, again, if they're ready, parents want to start that kindergarten process sooner than later. I think one of the things to keep in mind for parents that might think, I don't know that my child's ready, is that kindergarten isn't really a 2-year process. So if a parent, you know, thinks, you know, really, I, you know, thinking long term. And sometimes when we have a kinder, it's hard to think to a senior in high school, right? And what that's going to look like. But thinking long term, kinder is a 1-year process. So if a parent isn't sure, then it might be best for them to hold their child out for a year. But again, any questions can definitely be directed to the district office, and either Dr. Farley can reach out or we can put the parent in touch with someone at their attendance area school that can help them work through that process and make the best decision for them and their child.
All right, sounds good. Well, we're going to take our first break, come back with more. Stay with us.
What destination is on your bucket list? The Walla Walla Regional Airport can get you there with 101 one-stop destinations through Seattle. Is a Broadway musical in New York singing out your name, or laying on the beach with a margarita in the Mexican Riviera? Check out your bucket list destinations on alaskaair.com and be sure to enter ALW to start your trip from your home airport where you always have free parking. Book your tickets today and fly Walla Walla.
Race towards big wins at Wild Horse Resort and Casino during the $125,000 Derby Dash for cash and prizes. The track comes alive with over $13,000 in cash and prizes every Friday and Saturday. Pick your lucky horse, jockey your way to victory, and ride away with up to $700 cash. Then join us Saturday, April 27 for a $15,000 grand prize. 3 winners will race towards the finish line, and the winner takes home $10,000 cash. Wild Horse Resort and Casino. More winners, more often.
Whether you need to work on a sprinkler system or get your lawn ready for summer, Zimmerman & Company True Value can help you get the job done right. Here's Terry to tell you if now's a good time to weed and feed the lawn.
Yeah, all year's really a good time to do the weed and feed, but definitely in the spring while they're still young and you get them before they get rooted. Got all the Scots, like 1 through 4, I think it is. We've got grass seed, spring grass seed, all that stuff.
Zimmerman & Company True Value. Open 7 days a week on Main Street in Pendleton. Behind every project is a True Value.
A Pendleton original. It's the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
My guest this morning, Hermiston School District Superintendent Tricia Mooney. And Tricia, Future Business Leaders of America had a great showing at State. Tell us about it.
Yes, our FBLA students did amazing at State, and actually a lot of individual awards for our kids and some qualifiers for nationals, several qualifiers for nationals. And our FBLA program as a whole was got the award as the top program in the state, which is really exciting. And that all is, you know, piggybacking on prior to spring break, our FCCLA students did amazing at their competition, have several state qualifiers in FCCLA. And also just prior to spring break, our dance team at State had another strong showing at State. They got first in dance and first in show, and then second in hip hop at the WIAA state competition. So really looking forward to the next upcoming board meeting on the 22nd. We are going to have a full house for a little bit of time with all the student recognition that's going to be coming, because our board will be able to recognize again the state placers and the national qualifiers. So this in for our dance team, for FCCLA, for FBLA, and it's always exciting when we have a full boardroom at the beginning of the meeting. Now, granted, our high school kids generally will be there for the recognition part, and then I'm sure they're all heading home immediately to do some homework and things like that. Meeting usually clears out pretty quickly after that, but it is fun to see all of our students and to be able to recognize all of their hard work. They put in countless hours outside of school for in preparation for those competitions at FCCLA and FBLA, and then, you know, traveling on the weekends and those things to those competitions. So that's really exciting. And our FCCLA, that team, that program is fairly new. So in a short amount of time, they've done a lot of amazing things. And again, it's great to have an opportunity to recognize our students for some of those achievements that are co-curricular, if you will. So they're taking a class during the day, similar to our FFA students, and then participating in a CTSO, so a career technical organization group, and really showing off their skills. So I'm really looking forward to the board meeting on the 22nd to be able to recognize all of those students.
All right, and congratulations to all. Well, how are plans for graduating the class of 2024 coming?
Holy wow, that's going to be here in no time. I can't believe it. It's, well, it's the middle of April, right? So, like, we're really, we're 2 months on the home stretch here, and we have graduation coming up on Thursday, June 6th at 7 o'clock at the Toyota Center. We'll be there again, and that's less than 2 months away with a lot of things going on. I know this is a busy time of the year for seniors. It seems like every week there's something. Don't forget, remember this, remember that, you know, with the ordering their caps and gowns and all of those pieces. So we have coming up the next big events for our seniors, really, on the 8th of May, the Evening of Excellence. And at that night, is when seniors will get their graduation stoles if they completed a program of study. So that event on the 8th of May, and then May 28th is scholarship night, and that's the night where scholarships are awarded. So and clearly not all scholarships, we won't know about all of them yet, but a lot of local scholarships. And I think too, it's really important to recognize all of the local individuals, businesses, groups, you know, organizations that support kids in what their next steps are, because those scholarships make a difference. They make a huge difference for a lot of our kids. And then Friday, May 31st is a big night. That's the Senior Celebration Walk Parade. So it's that actually is an event that started in COVID, when we couldn't get together, right? And we couldn't really have our seniors. We knew graduation was going to look different that year. And truly trying to figure out a way that we could have our community be a part of something with our graduating seniors to celebrate them and highlight that. Because that first year, that graduating class of 2020, we had to limit. They had two people that could come in and watch them get their diploma, which was a huge departure from anything we'd had before. So we started the graduation walk, and students actually start, they walk out of the stadium and walk around the block to Pomp and Circumstance and have an opportunity for family, friends, the community, and some community members who maybe don't even know a graduating senior, but get to see all of our kids walking down the block with their caps and gowns. And it's amazing to see them as a group. It's really the first time that community, as you know, public, we get to see that graduating class together. And it's neat to watch. So that is Friday, May 31st. And then they'll do their fireworks and stuff that night, a celebration for our seniors. And then that all leads right up to June 2 is baccalaureate that Sunday, and then graduation on June 6th. That again is going to be here in no time. I can't believe it. It's
Wow. It's that busy time of year, as we always talk about.
It is, and it's crazy because we hit a time that, at the district office, we are trying to wrap things up for this year, doing all this year's things, but yet we're planning for next year. You know, we're in a year from now, too, and I can't believe, and maybe that's a sign that I'm turning into my mom when I'm like, where did the year go? Time just flies, right? But yeah, in no time, we'll be at the Toyota Center recognizing the class of 24.
All right. Well, congratulations to the class as well. And we're going to take another quick break, come back, continue the conversation. Stay with us.
Miss a KUMA coffee hour? Download the podcast. Go to elkhornmediagroup.com. Live and local, it's the KUMA coffee hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
April 23rd is National Picnic Day, so at Mackay Creek Estates, they're celebrating with a special lunch. Join them beginning at noon on Tuesday the 23rd for a delicious picnic on site at their community. While you're there, you'll also be able to take a tour, learn about their innovative assisted living programming, and ask current residents about life at Mackay Creek. For more info about their community, visit prestigecare.com/Mackay Creek. Again, that's prestigecare.com/Mackay Creek.
Attention Pendleton residents. The city of Pendleton has begun gravel pickup. City crews will be setting out yellow signs with red lettering in areas they'll be working on, and will provide additional public notices as they move from one area of the town to the next. To help the city pick up as much gravel as possible, please pay attention and park your cars off the street when in designated areas. The city of Pendleton appreciates your patience and assistance during this time.
Live and local, it's the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
My guest this morning, Tricia Mooney, superintendent of the Hermiston School District. And Tricia, elementary and middle school summer programs are planned. Tell us about each of these programs and give us some details about the Summer Champions program also.
So elementary and secondary programs are a little different in the summer. And for elementary, starting off the last day of school for students in Hermiston is June 11, which again, less than 2 months. Wow. But for our elementary kids on June 13, Champion starts, and that will run through June 21st, where Champions will be the full day program. And then that's a Friday. June 21st is a Friday. On Monday, June 24th, the district summer program begins. And the reason for that break in there is to allow our staff that are working summer program really to wrap up a year and really be ready for the summer program. And Champions again runs that interim. We want to make sure that we have a place for students all summer. So Champions will be the full program from June 13 to the 21st. And then starting on June 24th and running through August 2nd will be the district summer program. And the summer program is sandwiched, if you will, on both sides by Champions. So Champions will come in and provide morning care. And then at the end of the day, we transition back to Champions. In our summer program, students can get three meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. There is busing. Again, we're partnering with the city on swim lessons. And one of the things that's really, and this came out of, COVID too, when we were coming back and trying to figure out a way to engage students and bring people back into the school. We do all of our sports programs, our sports camps. So our high school soccer team will do a soccer camp at the summer programs. And the first year we did this, we took the kids to the high school, and we've since transitioned. It's a whole lot easier. We take the high school kids to the summer programs. So there will be The sites for summer program for our elementary kiddos are at Rocky Heights and at Loma Vista. And the coordinators will, coordinate all that. So all of our high school, sports programs will have an opportunity to do those little sports camps for our kids. There are field trips, a lot of really neat hands-on activities that happen for our elementary students. And elementary students have an opportunity to attend from, really June 13 all the way up until school starts. So August 2nd is the end of the district summer program, but then August 5th, that Monday, Champions takes over again and will run through the 23rd of August. So up until we're getting ready to start school. So there is an opportunity for parents to have that all summer. Registration is open. It is important that parents, elementary students need to, it's for Hermiston School District students. Parents need to register for the summer program, and then we'll also need to register for the Champions program. It's two separate pieces, but that allows Champions to be able to know who's transitioning and staying, because not all of our kids stay for the full day program. So that registration is open. And then middle school and high school programs have two-week programs that are a little more focused on, at the middle school, some skill development, depending on age, right? Skill development, getting ready for the next year, fill in some gaps. And then at the high school, getting our freshmen ready and our incoming freshmen ready, and some credit retrieval for students that need that support.
All right. And then Hermiston's student population is a little lower than normal. What do you think, or why do you think that is?
I think across the state, and we've had this conversation, we're seeing a decline in enrollment. And for a long time, Hermiston, prior to COVID, was increasing enrollment. And there are a variety of factors, I think, that go into that. Some of it is brick and mortar. Some of it, versus online. So students and families selecting online programs instead of brick and mortar programs. Some of it is aligned with what we're seeing really with birth rate data out of the state. Families aren't, there aren't as many families that have 5 and 6 kids anymore. So we're fairly aligned when we look at that across the state. What we're seeing in Hermiston as far as enrollment isn't really, a departure from what we're seeing across the state. And again, what we keep in mind is that the state school fund is a pot of money. So while in Hermiston we may see we're declining enrollment, and enrollment translates to that ADMW, if districts across the state are declining enrollment, that doesn't necessarily mean that there are going to be budget reductions. So it's kind of a tricky game. It's a good thing we have Katie Saul, who's our director of business services, to keep an eye on all of those moving pieces and all of those numbers. But I do think that across the board, what we're seeing is some declining enrollment in Oregon. And we continue to keep an eye on that. And we know probably like any other number, right? The stock market, it goes down, comes up. So we'll keep an eye on it at this point. For me, what we really want to keep an eye on is how that impacts our budget and making sure that we're still able to offer comprehensive programs to our kids. And in Hermiston, we have a board that's been very fiscally responsible. So I'm excited and proud to say that we're not seeing the reductions that some districts across the state are seeing. I know Salem announced last week some major cuts, and because of the forward thinking of our board and fiscal responsibility, we're not in that boat. So really looking forward to being able to offer our full range of comprehensive programs to our kids next year as well.
All right. Well, my guest this morning, Hermiston School District Superintendent Tricia Mooney. Thank you, Tricia, for coming in and talking to us this morning. I also want to just remind our listeners again that tomorrow and Wednesday kick off kindergarten registration in Hermiston. As Tricia mentioned, the registration for the summer programs is also happening now. A busy time, as we've already said this morning.
It is busy.
And don't procrastinate, and be sure to get everything that you need to get done for your child done sooner than later. And of course, if there's any questions, be sure to reach out to the district office.
Absolutely.
Or contact them online. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of the KUMA Coffee Hour. Back again tomorrow. Everybody have a marvelous Monday.
On us for local news, sports, and weather. News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA, Pendleton.